Austin. Culture.
Austin Culture.
Club. Sandwich Podcast.
Austin Culture Club Podcast, and we're back once again with a brand new episode. We got the whole gang here, Joey Patton, producer Julian, Mary, Little Lena, and our very special guest, Carmen Polito. You're not big.
Wow.
Carmen Polito. Did I say it right? Polito? Polito?
Giannis Polito. Oh. Yes, to you.
I'm so sorry.
And the rest. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, do it over. Start over.
The end.
Yeah. Carmen, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Don't be sorry.
No, you got it.
Did it great.
He's never been good with names.
It's not easy. I didn't hyphenate. It confused everybody. I'm sorry.
It was Carmen Polito.
It's Giannis Polito or Giannis. You can just say Giannis. Double L. I know you're brown too, and it's hard.
We love
it's
llamas.
Even harder.
We love llamas.
I know. See, but we call them llamas.
Carmen Giannis Polito, welcome to the podcast.
Excellent.
I'm sorry I didn't hyphenate.
Don't be sorry.
Oh man.
Sorry.
She's she's running for mayor. She's a mayoral candidate. Mayoral. One of four so far running for the mayoral. I think you have till August to sign up for it.
Yeah, the last minute folks will be coming in.
Yeah,
if there is anyone.
Leslie, we miss you. We miss you, Leslie, wherever you are. But so Joey, how is Portland?
I got big news, guys. I'm moving to Portland.
No.
For love. Yeah.
What about the cat hotel?
They got cat hotels there.
What about the podcast?
So we're doing a sub podcast called Portland Culture Club.
Oh my god.
Oh no.
She podcasts too, so I already got a code.
Is this how you're finding out?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm breaking it to the world here.
I don't believe you.
Oh, I believe him.
When are you moving? This
is sad. Probably like the end of summer.
Yeah.
We're getting
you,
matching tattoos.
You hung out with this girl two times.
Three times.
He went there. He went to Portland to hang out with her. Yeah, that made, that's like, and they spent a good
I'm just saying, we'll be here when you come back.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Austin's not going to leave. Yeah.
Yeah, we always support you.
If I may, I just met you.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that you're doing this a little bit backwards seasonally. Seems like you should go now.
Yeah, you should go for the summer.
And come back around September.
By the time September rolls around, you'll be sick of her.
Well, I'm...
True.
And then by June of next year, you can reevaluate, you know?
True. All right. Yeah, all right. I'm going tomorrow.
Down. Okay.
Right. Have fun.
Yeah.
Okay, right, bye.
We don't want you here.
Who's running for mayor in Portland? Because I'm going to get them on the show.
Oh, my God.
Oh, she's going to come down here now this month. And then she's going to go to Vegas with me for that art show. I said too much. That's enough.
Dang.
Okay.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Well, sometimes people listen to the podcast and then I say stuff that I shouldn't say about things. And then, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't told my mom yet. My grandma's a fan of the show. So.
His cousins.
Yeah.
Hopefully you know an editor among us.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be fine. Edit this out. All right.
Well, I didn't go to Portland. I didn't fall in love, and I didn't move to Portland in my mind. But I thought about it.
I thought about it.
And I guess I'm going to go visit Portland soon to see my...
Don't cry.
See my friend? Walk him down the aisle.
Oh, yeah.
Who?
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what. The wedding better have an
Or at least
she,
like a
she
Shetland
got,
pony.
She got oyster money?
Who's your friend, Ruben?
All you can eat oysters.
Yeah. Talking about Joey.
Yeah,
well,
you know what they say about oysters.
No.
Yes.
No.
Stop. It stops there.
That's all I said.
They're very expensive when you send them all the way to Texas to eat.
Yeah. Did you know that they're
That's
live
what they
when
say.
You eat them?
That too.
I'm not sure if they ever die. You spent the whole week sick, Mary?
I was suffering from allergies or a cold or some kind of affliction.
Well, maladies?
Yeah.
Times are changing.
Nobody's getting diagnosed anymore. That's what I'm noticing. Everybody's just like, oh, you're sick. It's not COVID. It's not the flu.
Yeah.
It's not RSV, but you're sick as a dog. Feel better soon.
Yeah,
bye.
Sick as a dog.
Yes.
Yeah, sweating.
Yeah.
That's actually it, yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm back.
What? Didn't you binge watch a popular show?
I watched Baby Reindeer on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
You've seen it?
I'm like episode 4.
I watched the whole thing in one night.
That's a mistake.
Yeah. It was a journey. There were some dark moments.
Have you ever had a stalker? Yeah, you have. Of course.
Not that I.
Of course.
And I was like, is that a theme?
Baby
Reindeer is a TV show about a comedian from England. Who's in real life was stalked by a lady who I think she texted him 50,000 times in 1 week.
Got it.
And then he wrote a screenplay about it, and it became a TV show, and now it's the number one show on Netflix.
Oh, well, no wonder you binged it.
Yeah, it was really good. It was only like 4 or 5 episodes, maybe 6.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's like 6. Yeah, it's great. Check it out.
It's really good.
This segment was sponsored by Netflix.
I wish.
Bing, bing.
Baby Reindeer.
All right, let's go. Should we go right into topics?
Topics.
Joey, do you have any topics?
Yeah. What's the deal with airplane food? No. No, I don't have any topics.
All right. I have, obviously...
I chose poorly.
We got to bring up today's University of Texas students. I guess in the same spirit as the University of Columbia in New York, I guess 2 or 3 days ago, and a lot of other universities throughout America, they set up a camp or tent city of some sort. And obviously the state of Texas went there with 100 million troops and police officers and whatnot, and I guess arrested 16 students today?
At least, yeah, something like that.
That's the last number I heard. And broke up all the protests. But I don't really think the protests were really more than peaceful. It wasn't even like, I don't know. It was like a dramatic... No, it was just...
No, but when you look at the grand scheme of things, I mean, this is coming right on the heels of the massive layoff, 60 people in one day. Anyone who was tied remotely to diversity, equity, or inclusion at the same time that there's increasing strife around the conflict in Gaza. So in a lot of ways, I mean, what's happening, not just at UT, right? This is campuses all over the country.
Yeah, all around the country, yeah.
So I think in a lot of ways... You know, a lot of people were saying 2020 mirrored 1968, and I think you could say the same about 2024 and 1972. I think there's a similar strife around what's going overseas, what's going on, the fact that we have very little control, the fact that there has been an increasing crackdown in response to movement building on the left, and it's playing out in some of the youngest crowds on campuses.
No, I agree. Like, I feel like as part of the liberal America... We look at things and we want to believe that we're, you know, anti-war, anti, you know, all these things. And here we are supporting, I mean, basically just the pillaging of Gaza. And this has been, it's been terrible, you know what I mean? And obviously our politicians aren't listening to us. And honestly, I believe that even normal Americans on both sides, red or blue, do not really want us to be involved in this, you know?
Yeah.
No, this is something that certainly transcends party. Like a lot of serious conflicts.
I think both parties definitely like to hear about more conflicts in the Middle East and like Gaza region. But like, it's been decades. Like, yeah, it's like, oh, it's going to keep going on. And then people have had enough.
Yeah, we've had enough. But we've had enough for a while. And I feel like they've been ignoring us since the beginning and we'll be ignored forever because. They hate us.
Well,
okay, I got a little negative there. Sorry.
Who's they? I mean, who's this ominous? They, them. Is it one person or many? That's
well,
a different
the
podcast.
The concept of, for example, Washington, the supposed swamp, these politicians that we vote for every year, every election, whatnot, they're not listening to the people. I think
that is true.
The majority of Americans do not want to be in any way involved in this genocide.
That's true. And it's true that at a certain level of political involvement, there is an immense pressure to and an allegiance to a very small, well-funded group of political supporters. And that has confined, I mean, we've seen it with our own reps, right, who have escalated.
Yeah. Look, we're sending millions of dollars over there, and that millions of dollars being sent back here to buy weapons from our companies. So, of course, there's a, obviously, you can follow the money on a lot of this, too, more than anything else. And it's, I don't know.
I will say, though, we do have a history, though, of the push and pull and of raising awareness, raising consciousness. And we have a choice. A lot of people are tempted right now to disengage. And I get that because they feel they've been offered a binary choice. But I think we always have to remember there is more complexity. There's down ballot, right?
Yes.
There are really influential political issues that go far beyond all these things. That doesn't mean we stop keeping our eye on Gaza. It doesn't mean we stop paying attention to human rights violations all over the world and the U.S.'s role in it. But we also start paying attention at where is that transformation at home that we really want to see. I know, yeah. I got all serious
Act
on you.
Act locally, think globally. I'm
That's
looking.
It.
Yes. My next topic, Oracle, Larry Ellison, the owner of Oracle, did a little speech, I guess, this weekend saying that he's moving to Nashville. They're going to move Oracle's headquarters to Nashville. He said they'll be there by 2026, I think he said.
Is he breaking up with us?
I don't know all the details if we're going to keep offices here in Austin.
That's right.
Riverside.
By the lake.
Yeah. But and I don't know 100% if they're going to move all the offices or if they're going to move any or whatnot. But the initial statement has set a little bit of fear because I think the city of Austin recently just gave Oracle that corner of Riverside where, like, the truck yard is.
Yes.
So they can build more offices. And now, I guess that's just going to be...
It is quite possible. I mean, that is that's what's happening with a lot of commercial real estate. It's difficult for some of us who have seen the sort of path of destruction where the Oracle campus is. I mean, now that they're here and they've employed a lot of people in Austin,
yes,
it'd be nice to see them stay and,
yes,
you know, provide community benefit.
After Elon recently fired 10% of his workforce, and I think that affected at least 2,000 to 5,000 Austinites, depending on what numbers you look at. And then this happening, I don't know.
Get
a little tech fear.
Well, it's sort of a reminder that these are not, these folks are not, they didn't come to Texas to play by the rules of robust labor laws.
Right.
You know, there's a reason they came from California.
Obviously, Nashville is offering them something to go. It's not like they're just going because they don't want to.
Hot chicken.
Right. I mean, you know, as new money and innovative, what's old is new again.
Yeah.
What's new is old again because they didn't know anything about hot chicken.
Yeah. But now,
the
KFC got it.
But they think it's, I think there is this thought that these folks are really innovative when the reality is that this is a typical race to the bottom, like where you go like, oh, okay, we found a way to make money. We found a new casino we can load our coins into, and Austin has been that. And it has been a tech hub for a number of reasons, principally water. We don't talk enough about that, right? Right? Okay.
Water.
But straight up, like,
it's
I,
issues.
It says wait.
Like so many people I know who have been in the service industry for years, and I think when the pandemic hit, was like the rug got pulled out from under people, and all of a sudden they were like, oh, I don't have any security. Like, I need to actually find something that gives me more security. And I think this is a similar moment where people are like, oh, tech's providing these cushy jobs. And then when the rug gets pulled out from under you, it's like, wait, was anybody looking out for me? And if they have this like national and global reach, shouldn't they be subject to federal labor laws within our bounds? So I think that's a political question, really.
Next topic. So the I got some stuff coming
where
up.
Where more
here.
People could participate. I get real insect nerdy, so though. I don't think you want to talk about butterflies with me.
The city of Austin got a new little
That's
program.
Next.
They got a little thing going on here with the bars downtown called Sip Safely. It is a drink spiking awareness program, and certain bars will have testing kits so you can test your drink to see if you got spiked.
I don't think that actually became a thing, did it?
No, I don't think.
No,
I
this
it
is
yeah,
this is
that,
this is like in. That, but real.
Yeah.
Sorry, again, I just met you.
Yeah,
was,
after 35 years of roofie and drinks, we're finally going to do something about it. You know what talking about?
Ruben, what did
well,
you?
Well, what are the kids? Is it just like
they've been doing drinks for 35 years in this town. It's been going on since I was a kid here back in 92, hearing about girls getting their drinks.
But now it's happening to men, so now it's an issue.
Oh, yeah, because they're getting robbed. They're doing the men. No, you're wrong. They're doing the face thing and stealing all your money from your stupid iPhones. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Face ID.
Yeah, because once your face opens the thing, all the purchases cannot be, you can't get no refund on it. Because it's like signing an electric agreement using your face.
I knew there was a reason not to do that.
See,
yeah.
We're
good. You're sleeping.
So there was,
we don't have to worry. We got nothing to take.
You signed an agreement for all those purchases. So they're not going to give you back that
$30,000 at a Walmart. There's this one girl on TikTok who does this thing called, she calls it My Face Card Never Gets Denied. So the TikTok is her like moving her face. So she'll walk into like the Gucci store and she'll like buy the whole store by shaking her face at the screen because it's like you can buy anything pretty much on your phone with your face. You just like put it up and then you tap it. But like her thing is like she shakes her face and she buys like a house in Malibu and like it's super popular, but it's like very much like a play.
This sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
Next
face
topic.
Card.
Next time, I can't do a simple one for you, simple mindedness.
You wanted to talk about butterflies. Can we talk about butterflies for a
minute? Yeah.
No, I'm not going to talk about
them.
No,
bad.
I didn't see any this year. I saw like one.
The
and they're dipping.
Yeah.
I feel like their migration was not as strong. Unfortunately, I feel
they're
like
they're in a dip.
Yeah, like the dip is.
But he's saying in San Marcos they were numerous.
Were they covering the trees? What? I will say one of my friends.
Real monarchs?
One of my friends was doing a Instagram story earlier today where she was like, oh, I got this butterfly. It was like a monarch. And she was like walking around with it. But like, I guess she was like keeping it captive. I was like, what the fuck? It was the only one.
It was like
leave
a monarch
alone.
Or it was a monarch?
You know, it was. It looked like a monarch to me. It, she
like,
didn't say
that's
it
the
in
thing.
Her story.
There's the cheapy monarch.
Yeah.
Not
the fake ones.
Well, I'm just saying.
The monarch is bigger than the monarch imposter.
Oh,
yeah, the monarch
okay.
imposter. Look, this is so derisive, but but I don't mean to put it down.
Yeah, but
we are Lepidoptera. That's the order. That's the order.
Yeah.
I can go real nerdy on insects if you
let's
like.
Let's move on from butterflies.
Yeah, you should because
let's go to
I'm
a darker topic again. Well, here, let me do a topic. So, this happened this week. A rideshare driver was picking up somebody in the Riverside Drive area and was found dead the next morning in the car.
He was missing since the 11th. They found him like on the 18th.
No, okay, but yeah, that at the time like, at the time of his
they found him dead in the crease. Something happened.
The last time they saw him, he was picking up somebody on Uber, and then he was found on the 17th in his car, dead.
Yes.
And
like 5
they're trying
days
to
later.
Figure out what's happening there.
Butterflies.
Because originally they thought that he might have been
butterflies.
Remember that? Remember the ladybird killer guy? They said they had found a body, and a lot of people thought but they thought the Uber driver was the guy they found. But it wasn't. They just found the Uber driver today.
No, that was on the 7th.
Well, I mean, they released it today,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, because they found the person on the trail.
Yeah, I know, but a lot of people on the Ladybird Killer Facebook group I'm in, they were, like, thinking that he was the one because he was missing.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
You know what I'm talking about.
They're not sleeping.
Like, I know that you're part of the control group.
Control
that controls
group?
The Ladybird Killer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's how you think I'm connected, huh?
I'm not calling it. We are not calling it Rainy Street Ripper because there is no ripping in the bodies.
That's the thing. That's probably what happens right when after they swear me in there and be like, okay, here's the real data set around the Ladybird Lake. Now we're gonna there's actually three Ladybird Lake killers.
What?
And no, I mean, I'm just saying. No, I agree. It's a harder job.
There's more than
one.
Also, how long have you been in this town? Forever, right?
Yeah, minus my college
years. And you know that nobody drowned in Lady Bird for years. Nobody would even get in the water. We were afraid of getting in the water.
A couple football players and some challenges, a couple fraternity hazings.
But we were afraid of Lady Bird.
Back in the day. You didn't get in there because of undertow.
Afraid.
Yeah.
But now it's like everyone willy-nilly in there, like you.
Willy-nilly.
I'm not going to drown.
But then it started taking the dogs. That's when it was... It got, and you know, in this town, that's when it gets serious.
Yeah, you can't come for the dogs.
I got a dog killer too.
The algae.
No, I know. The zebra mussels.
No, it's not the undertow. For the dogs, it is the algae. For the drunkards, it's the undertow. But for the most recent, it's some. We don't like that. That's big city crime stuff. We don't like that stuff here.
Oh, I know. Well, see, yeah, I feel like that.
Oh, man, old Austin, there'd be a dude found dead with his hands tied behind his back with a bullet wound, and they'd be like, suicide. They didn't want any murders. They wanted to make it seem like everybody wants to move here. We have no violent crime.
There were a few. It was, yeah.
Acevedo did not want any violent crimes.
My dad would remind people, you know, if people stigmatize the east side so much. But our most gory stuff was on the west side, like always.
Yeah.
And we'd always remind people.
There was a little weird time in like the early zeros when they were killing prostitutes and leaving their bodies on the east side.
That was really bad. Yeah, there was also a couple of domestic sex workers.
I'm sorry.
No, but also West Campus. You know, I don't even want to talk about those days. But let's change the subject. Austin, point is, there's always been a risk of some really bad stuff going down. Yeah. And, you know, you just got to look around.
We love Austin, but there's also more to the city.
Yeah, I mean, the other place I lived was Chicago, okay? So it's not like Austin is, like, the dangerous city.
They call Chicago Big Austin.
They do not.
Yeah, I'm walking here.
That will not fly. A more uplifting topic, thank God.
Our governor, Greg Abbott, among Time 100 list of most influential people 2024.
Oh, my
he's
God.
He's just wheelchairing his way to the front.
Cutting benefits for disabled kids on his way.
Right.
No, man.
Well, you know, just because someone experiences oppression doesn't mean they're clear on that oppression.
Immigrants to a big city because they want them. I don't know.
It's getting bad over there. They're telling my New York friends are like, "Yo, we can't keep doing this. Like it is like busloads and busloads for real." And I mean, they have the ability to absorb a lot of people. They've been doing that for hundreds of years. But it's like, we can't. We're gonna need something different. Well, just more people got to. Chip in, and you can't just shuttle people. Like, it's not, yeah.
Human traffic.
Pretty crazy. Man, we're now we're into human trafficking. You just from one.
We're going to the interview. Relax. We're going to the interview.
What
we're
happened?
Clear it up.
No,
we're
clear. No, we got to roll through.
Reggie Bush got his Heisman back. That was a good topic though. We're real happy for Reggie.
Why did he lose the Heisman?
Because they gave him money. But the problem is they gave all of them money. Everybody got money. You think everybody goes to these universities to sit around and because they're happy to go to college?
Okay.
What do you think? Vince Young went here because it was fun?
Okay. We get it. You can stop.
That's what I hated about it. It's like they made an example of him
when that's
while
what it's
Johnny
all
Manziel
about.
Was sitting there like on drugs and like signing autographs for $150.
I don't think
and he never lost his.
I don't think anybody's going to debate you on this one. I think we're sold. I think we're with
college
you.
College sports is just.
I get it. Let me refer you to my mother.
Money.
She. No, I'm serious. I can't. No, my mom. For real. She's,
I'm an older gentleman.
I don't know if you can keep up with her.
I doubt it.
She is like bleeds orange. None of her kids went to UT, so she had to go three times and teach there and retire there. And she read Mac Brown's book. She can go all day with you. Yeah.
Match made in heaven.
You know me and Mac? Mac and me?
No, it's like you wanna take a weight off of your kids' life. You wanna make their burden less than your own, and that's what my mother did for me as an Austinite. I never have to talk about UT. Yeah, unless I'm getting published.
True love. True love. Okay. So Carmen, you have three other
candidates. I thought you were about to say 4 minutes. I was like, oh no.
The election.
The interview.
I said that earlier. Well, I got a little crazy.
For editing purposes. And not just any election. The 2024 November mayoral election.
That's a big deal.
Because people don't even know. People don't even know there's a mayoral election.
I don't understand how Watson could run for the 85th time.
Yeah, it is Texas.
Okay. Watson's running for the 85th time, in case you're wondering. He was mayor in 97 to 2003, and he's mayor now.
That's clearly 87 if you do the math. There's a question here. I think a mic is needed.
Can you give us a little bit of your thoughts as to how he's been since he came back into office? And what do you think, what do you think the landscape is for being a mayor in Austin right now?
Let me just say, I have had my entire adult life, literally since I graduated from high school, was the end of that first term, or that first, you know.
The Watson life.
Yes, and I've watched it play out. And what I haven't seen is the curiosity of how did it go? Shall we course correct anything? How's it going now? Maybe we should spend our resources on investing in the things that keep us, you know, vibrant, but also affordable and culturally nourished, you know. I think there's a lot of rhetoric, but, you know, I mean, I'm not here to talk about my opponent. What I will say is I admire anybody who gives that much of their life to public service.
It's a thankless job, though, I'll be honest, to be mayor of Austin.
I mean, it is, depending on how you make things happen, right? The job itself is not very rewarding, and that's, you know, that's what I want to say. I didn't do this because I've always wanted to run for office or be a mayor. I'm doing this because I got drafted by 130 people signing an open letter asking me to do it. From all over the city, and because I love this town so damn much that I can't not try to get us back on track.
I like that answer. So, I mean, obviously Adler was real estate. I feel like Watson's pro real estate. Kathy Tovo's also running for mayor. She's been in the city council for like 12 years. I don't really see her being any different than them either. I feel like she's kind of from the same cloth, you know. And I know everybody's kind of doing this thing where, like, affordability, you know, the main issue, I feel like, of this election so far.
It's a hot topic.
Yeah.
What does it mean? What does it mean?
But how do we actually make Austin affordable?
Yeah, let's actually talk about it. I mean, like, we could get into the jargon if this was a real political podcast and all your people wanted to talk about median family income and density bonuses. I can go there. Like, I am a land use scholar, okay? Let me just... Remember SNL and Star Jones? I am a lawyer. I am a land use scholar. But I also am a regular Austinite, and I can tell you that if a firefighter starting out making $60,000 a year can't make it here, that means a teacher can't make it here, that means my nail tech can't make it here, that means service industry is busting their ass with two or three jobs trying to make it here. And there is a mix across Austin of actual affordable rental. And a lot of it is not income-restricted, nonprofit-owned affordable. And I hate to say it, but a lot of our nonprofit-run affordable is evicting people because it's too expensive. So we have to have a reality check about what's actually affordable to people and actually start talking in real numbers. I mean, okay, like I said, if you're starting out as a firefighter at $60,000, we're watching our council talk about housing and subsidize the creation of housing that rents at like $3,000 a month.
I mean,
so what? Exactly. Why are we subsidizing at that level? And who? And that's not even. That's not. They're not selling you these $600,000 and $700,000 houses.
Yeah.
They want to rent them to you. This is all investor driven. There right. is no mechanism to make this follow. You know, prices fall because we have more of this stuff. Not when we're letting them chew up and spit out our most affordable units.
Half the rent houses on the east side are now Airbnbs.
That's
they're not
right.
even fucking.
That's right.
And we can live in them.
And when we actually have the capability as a city to put limits on short-term rentals, to put limits on rents themselves, when we're giving away entitlements to build, we actually can put those limits on. So this is the place where we actually can, and our council is choosing not to require affordability. So who's the NIMBY? And this is where I really want to push people to get engaged, because I was told by our previous mayor said to me, you know, housing's going to be a challenge for you in this campaign. I said, housing's always a challenge. But let me tell you, while I might be in the minority on that dais, I think the majority of Austin agrees with me. I think almost everybody in this city is seeing what is actually happening. And it's not, nobody's saying, oh, don't build any more condos. Look, the condos are going up. The city is developing. Downtown is mushroomed. We have welcome development. We're saying, don't destroy the last of what is affordable, culturally accessible, and awesome. Like, people love it. People don't like seeing the whole city wiped clean. Having those pockets of the culture, the green, the park space, all that stuff is the golden goose. That is what keeps people wanting to move here and invest here.
They're killing Montopolis right now. It is insane how many apartment complexes are going up over there.
And we spent money to look at a study to show, you know, uprooted, what's happening with displacement, Montopolis, ground zero. Here's where you really could make a difference. And our council has not heeded any of that. There's too much money to be made.
Yeah, and as soon as all these people can't afford the taxes on their houses, they're all going to be kicked out and they're just going to flip them anyway.
The reality, though, is that there is money to be saved and made by doing things differently, because it's short money. It's like fast money for some of these investors to knock down, to drive out lower income people, especially working class, people of color, and replace it with high income stuff. But eventually, you do hit a plateau, and we do get a point where every working person now is having to commute. Your traffic is never going to improve that way. You're not going to get the transit system you want. In order to get the federal grants to make our transit system, Project Connect, all that stuff work, we are going to have a place for working people in the city. We can't just talk about it. We have to do it. Yeah, well, that is the five.
That's the thing, but they're getting pushed out of that stuff too.
Our five county area is the real housing market. We don't like to talk about that, but we can't just make rules within the city limits and think that changes the five county area that is our housing market.
I was talking to a real estate investor that I know, and he was telling me that right now they're attacking between the Cedar Creek area, between Bastrop and Austin, out by the airport, out by the racetrack, all that stuff's the next jump he thinks of, like, everyone's going to be building out there. And right now, that's where, like, basically all working-class Mexican families are out there. You know what I mean? They're the ones that are going to get displaced out of their rent houses. You know what I mean?
When I was growing up, my uncle lived in a trailer out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, now it's like, it's the next, he was telling me it's the next step that they're looking at. And I was like, great.
Yeah, well, it certainly is a ripple out there. And it also is one of the least planned areas of Austin and Central Texas. So even the parts within the city limits, when you look at Imagine Austin from 2012, I always like to quote Jim Duncan, our former, he was our planning director in the 80s, actually. But he's the one that came up with the term community, not commodity. But he would say, you know, it looks like somebody dripped mustard on the map in Southeast Austin. Like, there's like a couple of yellow lines and dots, and there's no real planning. There's been no comprehensive discussion about how do we want this to look. I mean, all these ideals around, you know, dense housing, different housing types, townhomes, triplexes, you know, great. Let's plan it. We're letting these huge big box crappy subdivisions build out Southeast Austin with no planning, and we could be doing better. We can do better.
Yes.
All right, so Project Connect.
Yeah.
I feel like it's completely a waste. Like, all they're trying to do is basically
light a candle.
Go to the, all right, it's the idea of us having like this train. A train.
Yeah, so.
But yeah, so, but they're not. All they want to do is go to the airport and back.
So
let's distinguish.
Let's distinguish Project Connect, the plan, and Project Connect, the funding mechanism and the tax that was passed in 2020 and the current implementation.
That's already been kind of thrown out the window, right?
Well, not. I mean, it's about to be here shortly, but that doesn't change the fact that the people of Austin did vote for this massive investment in public transit called Project Connect. So where does that leave us? We need to roll up our sleeves and get that money and actually get the transit we deserve. And I think a lot of it's going to be making our bus system work for once.
Yes.
I mean, let me not, hey, I do take the bus and it works great in some spots. But
you know.
I would love after 9 o'clock, after leaving here, that there would be a little bit more route frequency for me to get home safely, you know.
A lot of times it's overcrowded too.
If you're taking a popular line.
Well, the trains, like the whole Project Connect idea is to get the whole city so people can go to and fro without even driving, whatnot.
Yes.
But they always change the plan, and I feel like the only thing they really want to do is connected to the airport so like tourists can get to the hotels. And I'm like,
and yet it doesn't look like it's going to go all the way to the airport.
And like, because they can't. What are you going to do? Put the train on Riverside? I mean, which is already the busiest street in the effing city.
One of the lines is planned to go all the way down to Riverside to Montopolis, yeah.
Just not all the way to the airport. Eventually it will. The hard part is the rail being only 38th Street to Old Wharf when the majority of our traffic and congestion is outside of those areas.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If we were to focus all of this money and resources right now on getting those north-south, crosstown, and circulator routes improved, I think we could get our ridership up. We could get more people invested in this. We could restore faith in Capital Metro. And because this Austin Transit partnership, unfortunately, it's going to get shot down by the state. And it's not delivering what people voted for. I went back and looked at the ballot item in 2020. And, you know, we were all hit with this pandemic. And that ballot language was all about essential workers, about relieving traffic congestion, about addressing climate, you know, all these things. And
that is not what we're getting.
We're not getting that.
Yeah. At all.
And it's we're all paying for it. Even if we rent, people are paying for it with this tax increase.
Billions of dollars.
Yeah, it's huge.
And, I mean, the last time they did the one train we do have, they completely messed that up and had to spend billions to fix the mistakes they made. They got the wrong size train for the tracks. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know.
They had to fire all the Cap Metro head honchos because they're all fools. I don't know.
Well, there's plenty of progress to be made. Yes. I mean, there are some good people in there, too, who I think I really want to make use of these dollars and make good on the commitment. They need the authority and the agency and the support to do so. And that's, I think we have a leadership issue, frankly.
I just feel like it's going to get shut down or just I don't know. I really have no idea what connects.
I feel
goes.
Like you're down tonight. Is he always like this? Is he always the voice
get
of
this man a butterfly?
I think he's just feeling it. But like, yeah, I mean, I think Austin, especially with leadership, has always recently since COVID had a problem with allocation of funds, focusing, and making use of the most efficient use of funds. Especially with Project Connect, that's I feel like never, they keep going back and forth on stuff. The other one I thought of was, what was it? But the homeless problem, how much money do we have in a pile to help with a homeless problem? And it's all about allocation. We don't know what to do with it.
And how many frontline advocates do we have who are ready to make implementation to implement solutions right now? I am so glad that people mobilized and stopped our city from giving McKinsey and Company a $2 million contract.
Dude, the county itself said no to paying half of it or whatever.
But
that
we
was
were
so great.
Ready. We were so ready to give that money away. And that is one of the most messed up companies that we have no business giving any money. You know that these are the same people. They basically, they consult for companies to deregulate to increase profit, and then they go consult with the government entities to address the problems they've created. Oh, case in point, Purdue Pharma. Yeah. Okay, that was a client of McKinsey and Company. Here's how you get around fentanyl regulation. Then they go contract with the city of Portland, your friends, and they contract them with how do we address the opioid crisis
that we created.
So they were responsible for pushing policies in California like the Home Initiative, deregulating land use so you could build condos in single family. And what happens? You tear down the first houses that get torn down are the cheap rental housing. More people are homeless. Then they come in and they're going to contract us about homelessness.
Honestly, there's no reason to spend $2 million. We have a homeless problem. That's
they
the
did
answer.
This also,
that's all they're going to say.
They did this also in immigrant detention and private prison companies. You see them basically influencing the policy to worsen the problem. And in order to expand corporate profits and then contracting with the governments to try to solve the problem.
I'm so glad that the county said no to...
Oh, yeah, and I'm so glad that groups like Vocal Texas, shout out Vocal Texas, organizers, check them out on Instagram. But it's a lot of directly impacted people finally taking back the narrative on, what is the issue around homelessness? What are the root cause issues? Where is the money failing? Where is the money needed? Nika Arnold, also the Healing Project. I'm sorry, not the Healing Project. I don't know if we get her name right, but working with people who are actually experiencing the issue, because they can make these dollars actually get people off the street and solve the problem.
So Adler was always boasting, I got $180 million of work with homeless. I got $160, all these numbers. But what are you doing? What is actually happening? You have all this millions to solve homelessness in Austin, and you never did a thing with it in both your terms.
Well, this is where it's kind of funny, right? Because, you all probably get pegged as a progressive, scrappy leftist group. I don't know if that's true, but maybe you're, kind of more, all right, hang low.
We get pegged.
But that doesn't mean anything in this town. Don't you remember Ron Paulandia? Those people were all about decriminalizing, but I'm a Republican. Okay, well, I just bring this up because there is this issue of fiscal responsibility and accountability to the voters. And the reality of it is, it's like, this is what people are, you're going to hear this in November. There's going to be a claim that right-wing critics are, criticizing these Democrat-led initiatives, when the reality is, again, this is not a party-affiliated race. This position is nonpartisan, but you are looking at one of the political players who has spent more public dollars on contracted handouts than anyone in our history. I mean, we had our first $1 billion budget in the city of Austin when Kirk Watson first took office. We have a $5.5 billion budget and has
gone exponentially. Now, some of that is economic investment. It should get bigger, right? We have a growing city. However, when you look at the kind of spending over the last two decades in this city, whether we're talking about the police department getting literally like $100 million over 10 years with no strings before, and now most recently $4 million with no metrics. Right. Okay, then you have these massive amount of contracts going out. You have an elimination of elections related to our public utility and our water. So you're no longer engaging the public around how we're contracting for our biggest assets. Like, our biggest tax dollars going for our electricity and water. All of this should be in the public realm. We are a rich city.
My little apartment has already had three hikes in electricity in the last fiscal year or whatever. Three times my electricity bill has gone up. There's like some weird surcharge at the city of Austin. The last one was a percentage, but like they've done it three times. The first time I think they said is because of the grid or whatever. And the second time was because of this Austin is crazy. And the third time is because, I don't know, it was cold that one day. But I don't know. I don't want to get too bogged down on the homeless issue. We know it's an issue. Everybody knows it's an issue. I don't really have an answer myself. Nobody wants to throw money at it. It's a hard thing.
Yeah.
But I have other issues.
Okay.
Smaller issues.
We don't have all night, so let's get to the issues.
Game rooms.
Oh.
I'm on the east side. What is up with the game rooms?
Are we talking about
sweepstakes? Oh. Airport lounge. There's one on 7th Street. There's like six on Airport right now.
I was just trying to make sure that generationally
Maynard?
I wasn't
Girl,
misunderstanding.
You know Maynard, they got game rooms.
Yeah, I don't know anything.
Eight bar, eight lines, eight.
I feel like
this is an issue that Ruben has taken up as a personal. It's like he's taking it personal. I'm not sure.
Have you spoken with your local representatives about it?
Man, these game rooms are all over Austin, and they're all this like open 24/7. Shiesty, shootings, whatever.
Did I send you that story that guy wrote?
Yeah.
Did you read it?
I did.
Okay.
I'm gamer obsessed.
This guy on Reddit that wrote, he's actually a really good writer. He wrote about his meth addiction and how it went into the gambling at the game rooms, and like you're just staying up all night and you're just, you know, trying to hit that money and just the endless cycle that he was stuck in.
It's a gray area.
But yeah, it was a really interesting read.
A gray area in terms of like danger or legality. Oh, like, God. Yeah.
Like, when does it become a casino?
You don't really win money. You win like gift cards or something.
You win like credits.
Sweepstakes.
You win credits.
And then like you get an exchange. It's
crazy. I'm telling you right now, they are popping up. That little grab and go on Springdale and whatever is no longer, it's now, that's a game room. On Maynard, by my kid's school, Bland's at, there's a little weird four-way stop. The car place is a game room. Airport.
It sounds like, Ruben, you
Tropicana
may want to
start. Bar.
You may
open
want to start
at 7
a nonprofit. I think you should start intervention. You know, like there's the sobering center for like, you know, people who drink too much. Maybe you need to have like some pop-up intervention, some...
Since you're bringing this up, the county is trying to open up some sort of like mental health.
For gambling?
Not for gambling, but it's for like instead
no,
of like going to jail, you go there if you're like having, I don't know.
Like having an episode?
Well,
yeah.
I don't want to say this an episode. It's just for like people who.
Who need some help.
Yeah.
Who are maybe.
We need a mental health response. Yeah. A response to mental health crisis that's not a criminal justice response. It's not a police officer necessarily. Oh, yeah. I live off Airport.
Girl. Game rooms.
Maybe I've just been looking the other way all this time. My rose-colored glasses.
Was right. There's game rooms all over.
Wow.
Tropicana bar. Could you tell us a little bit about your campaign and your platforms that you're trying to address with it? I feel like I have not been very, like, I guess, I've been informing myself on the mayor race.
Sure.
But, yeah, I'd like to know, I guess, like, you know, What are you coming and trying to bring to Austin?
Yeah, I love this, and I will try to be concise. I'll try to model the leadership quality of brevity
on this podcast. But if I share this about, I'd be like, hey, I talk about the campaign, scroll to 45 minutes into the conversation, and we get to the issues. I'm just kidding.
We were talking about sports games.
Yeah, I get it, man.
We talk about the culture.
The game rooms.
All
right.
The clubs.
Game rooms are going on the platform. That's issue number 17. Well, I can't promise you top five, but I'll promise you top 20.
Yeah.
17 sounds good.
So my campaign is an extremely broad-based, grassroots, people-powered campaign. It is, very typical Austin fashion. Yes, all power to the people. In the words of Shirley Chisholm, I am running to give politics back to the people. In Austin, that means I have academics behind me. I have creatives and musicians behind me. I have teachers and educators. I've got retirees. I've got Gen Zers. I got podcasters. Thank goodness. It sounds like y'all are on my team. It sounds like you're picking up what I'm putting down. Yeah, so I have a lot of people who are in the inside baseball. Like, let me say who I am. You know, I did grow up here, but I am a community organizer by trade. I spend the vast majority of my time connecting with everyday people to make incredible things happen by uniting common interests among different people. So that is true in my work at GAVA, Go Austin, Vamos Austin, my nonprofit, which I've been. We're a whole crew of community organizers working in South and North Austin to improve the health of neighborhoods through better infrastructure, healthy food access, green spaces. Now we're dealing with flooding and heat and these climate issues, right? So how do we get more equitable infrastructure and social cohesion to live healthy lives no matter what zip code you're in Austin? I don't care where you live in this neighborhood. We should all have access to good utilities, clean water, right? We should all have access to reliable electricity. Those things are all decided at the local level, and we should have some degree of government intervention and participation in trying to stabilize our housing and commercial prices, because that is actually, that mixed income is what keeps us economically healthy. So that is a big part of my platform, is how do we equitably climate-proof our city? Yay.
Well, small businesses also need a lot of help because there's so many.
We don't talk enough about it.
Yes, a lot of local places have been closing. It's just real tough to keep up with the Joneses, all these corporations and larger chains from the bigger cities, you know, like, you know, big Austin, Chicago and stuff like that.
Local economies are more resilient by nature. It doesn't mean we are not going to have, you know, national and global investment. Like, the cat's out of the bag. It's awesome here. There's water. We have, you know, people want to live here and there's water. Yeah. Water is a big draw. Water is a big draw for development. It's also a big draw for tech. So, and it's finite. We don't have all the water in the world. We have to actually conserve our water. If we're going to keep growing like this, we can't keep flushing our toilets with our drinking water. We can't keep letting the Capitol building water their lawns with our drinking water, frankly. Now, that's not decided at the city, but we need a mayor who will talk to the Capitol people and be like, hey, you know, but for real, my platform is about, like, bringing this back to for the people of Austin, for the land and the people that we love, that I really do believe is like the goose that laid the golden eggs. Like, hashtag, we can all have golden eggs. Hashtag, we can all have golden eggs. Don't slice open the goose. It's tempting. There's big money here now. We got tech billionaires here, and they want it. Well,
stop.
I don't know about all that.
Ruben,
stop.
That's enough.
Okay,
we're talking
so
about
yeah,
eggs
let's
here.
Keep it interesting. I think that's my cue. Next topic. Next question. No, we could talk about any issue, though, municipal issue, right?
So, we are winding down. I got to get to the Cat Hotel.
I was just starting.
But what are some of your favorite Austin places? Like,
goodness.
Sandwiches, tacos, favorite coffee shop.
Okay.
Like, you've been an old school Austinite. What's some of the things you miss?
Oh, man.
Tell us your love for Austin.
Jeez, that was like 17
What's
questions.
What's your favorite Austin band? Spoon?
Favorite Austin. Oh, wow. Spoon just got brought up and booed. No, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. I love a good local band. Well, okay. first of all, I'm the child of Austin musicians. So, like, you know, I my parents were like performing artists for real, like dancing professionally and playing music. And I got brought up in a lot of that, like,
you're saying you're a backup singer? Was that from your family?
Yeah, I got drafted in the family deal. I still, my dad plays still Daniel Llanes. He'll play For the Love of It, and I do backup vocals and percussion. And I just had, actually, my neighbor had a, this is great. I have a neighbor, she'll love that I'm promoting, G et al., one of my favorite Austin artists. Okay, my neighbor started songwriting during the pandemic, okay? Mind you, she's married to a bassist and bass clarinet player who's been in like all kinds of rad Austin bands. If anybody knows the Horsies from back in the day. Yeah. So, okay. Spouse of said musician just started writing songs in 2020, but they're damn good. Okay. And they're very folksy in that they really are about like there's a Chili's at 45th and Lamar. Has ATX explained that? That's a lyric in a song, by the way. Cool. I wasn't starting a conversation. That's a lyric in one of the
Chili
songs.
Just got a national holiday holiday in Austin. Yes. Did you see that?
Yeah, but okay. Sandwiches, man. Y'all remember the Kitchen Door on the west side, Lake Austin Boulevard? Used to have great sandwiches. Otherwise, if you're in Crestview, right, Little Deli.
Hell yeah, Little Deli.
Like, and if I didn't live in Austin, I would want Thundercloud every time I came home.
Republic of Sandwich?
Tacos, I'm like almost afraid to give my favorites away.
You can gatekeep that if you want.
I can gatekeep it. Well, okay, how about the ones that have already blown up? I'm very happy for Veracruz with their Fonda Veracruz now, which is in my neck of the woods. I know that it's more expensive and all that stuff.
It's
but
good, though.
But I knew them when there was, like, the sisters with the juices on Cesar Chavez in my dad's neighborhood, and I'm so...
Yes.
You're like, yeah, I know. I used to make the juice. Yeah. Now I have to pay $18
for the juice.
The queen,
I invented that.
Okay, but like for real, if I'm gonna give a favorite that needs to blow up, Little Taco Truck, Y Cesar Chavez, just west, I think, of Shady, La Chilanga.
Oh, oh yeah,
Doña Iris, that's my G.
That's her mama, yeah.
She's the truth. She makes those tortillas there.
Well, and she yells at people too.
Places I miss in that area.
No. Well, kind of. Really.
Places I miss. Taqueria Jaliscienses number 2 on Tillery. I miss that one because they made their own tortillas. Even though one time a cockroach fell from the ceiling into my fresh jalapenos. No lie. Yeah. And I kept eating. That's how hungry I was. I was like, I was like, fresh jalapenos. I'll be all right. But if we're going to go way back in time, I miss Patos Tacos. That used to be what became what is now Cherrywood Coffee House. Used to be a taco place like way back in the day. Also miss Nymphas with their puffy taco, the original puffy taco. But you can go to Houston for that.
Yeah, they're still around.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of places to miss.
There's that one trailer on where Pleasant Valley and Chavez. It's like that weird insurance. There's a trailer behind it.
Dos Hermanos.
I think she only takes cash.
Wait, Darius? Or no, Dos Hermanos was there at the corner of Pleasant. Oh, I know who you're talking about. The orange.
Old lady at Orange.
Yeah.
I think she only takes cash. It's so good.
She's great, too.
And like she's like also the only employee. She's kind of crazy, but it's cool.
Also makes her own tortillas. Yeah.
That's
my jam. And then, man, Taqueria La Chapala still holding it down.
Oh, yes.
Because I'm not even going to name the place. I'm not even going to name the new place that is, like, all hype right now, that is, like, getting people mad drunk on cheap tequila and making people wait for 3 hours for chips and salsa because they don't know there's seven other places to go.
Oh, that's the one by my house.
I'm not going to name it. No. Well,
yeah. Donata?
No comment.
Glorious?
You're welcome.
It's good, though. They got the really good margaritas.
I just lost, like, 400 gentry votes.
We'll cut it out.
That's bad.
We won't hurt you
Can you? I need you to make those people feel guilty next week so that they vote for me. I'm not actually angry at them. I want them to spend their money elsewhere and not have to wait so long for chips and salsa in the land of chips and salsa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is wrong with people?
All right. So favorite venue.
Oh, man.
I want a mayor that knows good spots around town for tacos and that I can see in the clubs.
I feel like it's so much I feel like it's so much pressure to, like, answer cool, you know? I feel like, okay, can
Well, you did your rally at Tamale House.
I did.
That's pretty cool.
Well,
they have a lot of good shows
Tamale
there.
House and Cisco's, man, are the last original Mexican businesses over there.
Yeah.
And I like some of the new spots over there. Fun, you know? For consistency, man, Elephant Room. I love that you can go in there any Monday night, and it is still the jam. It is still
This morning, we were talking about, like, the bars that are like cold old Austin that are just maybe out of the we're like Elephant Room, Egos,
Cloak
Room,
Saxon Pub.
Well, and it just it's kept a lot of its feel. I do love that about it. And yeah. I actually did go in. Where did I go into like Continental Club again? You know, and I was like, I like that they've preserved a certain, you know. Let's keep in mind, I am running against the guy who sold Liberty Lunch to a defense company, lest
never
we forget.
Never forget.
Never forget. That's the late 90s. Let's not have amnesia.
Damn. Yeah.
People say, whatever happened to Liberty Lunch?
I thought that was a beer. No, they came out the Liberty Lunch beer. Yeah, no, stop crying.
Okay.
All right, so where can we, like, find you? How can we get involved with your campaign?
Yeah.
Like,
check
have any
us
things coming
out.
Up?
Yes, we will definitely have more events coming out. We've had a couple.
Park last week.
It was already a couple weeks ago. It was fun though.
We're talking about the future. You're in the past.
Yeah, you're in the eclipse zone.
Yeah.
Those glasses are sitting by the wayside now. No, we've got some more stuff going on. Follow us on the gram.
Yeah.
And on Facebook, Carmen, the number 4, mayor. That's how you find me on Instagram. Carmen for mayor of Austin on Facebook. The website is carmen4mayor.com. Yay. And if you Google Carmen Mayor Austin, I mean, it's going to come up. But
hell yeah.
You can find it.
I
believe in you.
Thank you. We are going to win this thing because there are more people who love this place than just want to exploit it.
Yeah.
We love it.
Well, I mean, this is what this podcast is about, community, and we want to keep the old Austin and support the new. And so that's why
yeah.
we had you on the show, because we're like, you have those views that we have about
I
how
I am
we
not a nativist, yeah. by the way. I want all kinds of new people to come in.
Oh, yeah. But we do too. Like, but we're just like,
Austin culture.
Look into these game rooms, apparently.
Yeah,
like, destroying lives, apparently. I don't know.
It's like,
this is an epidemic. Next thing you know, McKenzie is going to be here trying to study it.
Like 12 cars,
that's
like eight
how you
people
know
out
Ruben's
there.
Really getting old. He's like, you hear about, you see these game rooms, they're up until like 5
in
the morning.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you peel back the layers and McKinsey and company.
I think Ruben could help you
back.
With the campaign, especially that topic.
People are going to be like, what did she have against this company? No, really.
Thank you all
for this opportunity.
Is there anything else you want to shout out, or how can people volunteer or get involved with this campaign?
You
as
know,
well?
I appreciate the young people helping me keep this interesting and not boring people
Thank
to
you.
Death. Yes. So maybe we can have more of a conversation next time too. But
yes.
There is a place for every single person in this movement. This can be about issues. It's not just about me. This is really about the people of Austin. So check us out and join us, because there's going to be all kinds of fun stuff. Like if you are a golfing enthusiast, if you like drag shows, if you
pickleball. It's what the kids like. I'm a pickleballer.
If you want karaoke for Carmen, if you want belly dancers for Carmen, if you have affinity groups, like there is a place for it, and we are having fun with this. Yes.
Check we need out. Swag. I need some buttons.
We
I
got
need
it
some
all.
Shirts. I need some headbands.
You can make a donation.
A blanket.
Make a donation.
Make
I'll bring
merch.
You all
maybe,
the
maybe
swag.
Maybe I can help out.
I'll even throw in stickers complimentary for your sticker
wall. Do you support
wall.
Cats? That's
I got two of them.
All right, then you're wearing.
Not only that, I know we're probably out of time. That's the end. I was going to read you my cat haiku real quick.
Oh, please.
I have a pair of orange cats that are both female. And if you know much about cats.
Very rare. Yeah. Very rare.
I work at a cat hotel.
Okay.
Like I work overnight at a cat.
So that's like having boy calicos. It's not common, right? So my haiku says.
Poetry corner.
Orange girls are rare. This litter was 3-1. Now we have a pair.
Nice.
So they're sister kitties. Their other sister and brother live, Mishka and Sasha. They're Russian. I don't know why they're Russian, but they are. Yeah, they're Russian. All right, for real. Thanks, y'all.
Yeah.
Can we smoke in here?
Game rooms.